Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times covers the Bears for a living. What's going on, Potsy? How are you, man?
Doing great, Mark. How's it going?
I am doing well, and so are Bears fans.
Should be flying high. Everybody should be pretty excited.
I mean, is this like the Ryan Pace redemption tour that's going on right now?
At this point, that's a good way of putting it, because the one thing he did, you know, of course, every draft you always have to wait to see what happens. But this is one, when you compare it to 2017, where even if this doesn't work, at least you say, well, we were all wrong, you know. Whereas yeah. Trubisky and Adam Shaheen, there was so much more. Everyone was so dubious of both those picks, especially Trubisky, that it was more like, what were you thinking? So, this is totally turned around, just what the way people think about what Ryan Pace has done, because it was a bold move. It was the right move, whereas I think the last time in 2017, it would look like it was the wrong move, and it was.
Where are you on the question that's going to be asked every day for a long time until it's totally and completely answered and there is something definitive about it? But where are you with, when should Justin Fields start for the Chicago Bears?
I just want to see the Bears give themselves a chance to see what they have in Justin Fields. I think they would be doing themselves a disservice to make him the number three quarterback, give him no first-team reps, give themselves no indication. In effect, shut him out like they did Trubisky in 2017 behind Mike Glennon. So I think they have something here that they really have to see what they have. As long as they do that, I will buy Andy Dalton as the number one guy, as long as they're leaving themselves an option to find out. Because it's a strategy that works to have him sit behind a veteran, but when it has worked, the veteran has been a much better quarterback than where Andy Dalton is in his career right now, and a much better offense than when the Bears are right now. Talking about Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes behind Alex Smith, Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre, Philip Rivers behind Drew Brees. Those are all like good quarterbacks who are well established. Dalton is not. So the question is, will the Bears be good enough to kind of stave off that, you know, Justin Fields frenzy, as those other teams I referred to were able to do? And I don't know if they'll be able to do that. So the key to me is, will they give Fields a chance to show them what they get, like the Seahawks did with Russell Wilson after they had signed Matt Flynn as a free agent to be their starter in, 2012, I guess it was. And that was a good move by Pete Carroll. He gave himself a chance to see what this third-round pick could do, and it turned into gold. So to me, that's the best thing. I understand them being patient. I can't fault them for wanting to do that. But I also think they have to give themselves a chance to see exactly what they got, because this kid is supposed to be that good.
Did you get the feeling when Matt Nagy was telling us about his two conversations with Andy Dalton? He said he spoke with Andy Dalton before the draft to say, hey, we don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. And then they move up and draft Justin Fields. And then he said he picked up the phone again and called Dalton and said, hey, it happened. We drafted a quarterback. It sounded like he was kind of saying, be ready for anything. And that it's not going to be the first game. That much I know. But it sounded like he was preparing Dalton, hey, man, you could be on the bench before you know it.
And that's the right way to play it from a management standpoint. And it's and I think Andy Dalton knows the score. I think he knows what's going on, and I think he's well aware. And you know, I'm pretty sure he'll be on board. He understands the realities of the game, and I don't think he'll feel like they pulled the rug out from under him, like kind of which was the situation with Glennon a little bit. But Dalton's much more established. But yeah, no, I think he played it right, I guess is what I'm saying. And so I don't think that will be an issue with Andy Dalton, you know, coming up as we get to training camp.
It's the voice of Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm Mark Rohde here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Potsy, you did your damnedest or tried your hardest to get an answer out of Bears GM Ryan Pace on where the second-round offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins will play. What did you infer from the back and forth you had with Ryan Pace in terms of whether Jenkins will play the right side or would he go to the left side where Charles Leno has been roaming for years?
Well, it tells me they have a big decision to make on Charles Leno, whether they can afford to keep him because they need to make cap room to sign their rookies, I think. So, yeah, they have a decision to make there. Otherwise, he would have said, hey, you know, Charles Leno's our starting left tackle. And, right. eventually Tevin Jenkins can move over there. But, no, the possibility exists. As he said, if Jenkins starts as a rookie, which he should, it could be at the left side or the right side. So, obviously, I think it's pretty clear the Bears are best with Charles Leno at left tackle and Tevin Jenkins starting it right this year based on, you know, the scouting reports and just what you think should happen. But if they move him to the left side, then who knows what's going to happen at right. You're going to have, you're not going to have a guy who started that often on the right side. So anyway, it's just, Charles Leno's, his status right now is up in the air. That's what it tells me.
Beyond those two guys, beyond Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins, I'm going to let you make the choice here. What was the next most interesting thing that Ryan Pace did in the draft?
Boy, I tell you, those first two picks really dominated things. The one that intrigued me probably the most is the wide receiver for North Carolina, Daz Newsome, because yep. I think he fit the toughness thing you're looking for. You like a shorter guy who's tough and plays and is willing to get hit across in the middle of the field, isn't afraid, and just those guys are generally pretty good. But the point being, with Justin Fields now looking to the future, you've got a quarterback who can make an offense work where guys like Daz Newsome come in and become playmakers. And you really didn't have that before. And so if this offense, you know, can make something out of a player like him, that opens up all sorts of possibilities. So I just see if the offense advances or matures like it should or like they expected to under Justin Fields, I think that a guy like Daz Newsome just looks to me like a guy who could really, like you see in all these offenses at New England and Green Bay and whatever, and New Orleans, you see these guys come out of nowhere and just overproduce. But you generally need a really good offense and a really great quarterback to do it. And I think he's a good candidate to do that. I haven't studied a whole lot. I've only seen a little bit of film on him. But just the whole, just reading scouting reports, just looking at him and talking to him, he sounds like a guy who could be a big hit if the offense clicks.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, also considering the success that the Bears had in the fifth round, Daz Newsome, a sixth rounder, but they did well with Darnell Mooney last year. And there's a lot of guys, Potsy, on this roster, on this depth chart that might not be around. I mean, I'm really fascinated to see who's going to be back. Like Anthony Miller, Riley Ridley, Javon Wims. What do you think you might know about the receivers that will be there or won't be there next year for the Bears?
I think everybody's on notice, but you also don't know who, if the offense gets better. Like, let's say Tevin Jenkins solidifies that offensive line and they actually become pretty good, and then all of a sudden your running game is good and your quarterback is better, and all of a sudden you get the guys who – some of these guys like Riley Ridley who you haven't really given much consideration, maybe they grow – in this offense, you know, so they could be displaced, sure, but they could also mature in a better offense too. And that's, you know, I think that's what's probably exciting to the Bears is that they feel like they've got guys Like, look at Tariq Cohen. I mean, I've always said, Tariq Cohen in the Bears offense, he's like, well, he's just an extra piece. I mean, he's like a deck chair on the Titanic because the Bears offense can't do anything with him. If he's in the Saints offense, that's, as we saw in like 2017, before Nagy got here, he's actually a really good weapon. I mean, he's making big plays, catching 70-yard touchdown passes and returning kicks and stuff like that. So I'm just saying a good offense makes – the Bears have a few guys, I think, who are just okay in a bad offense, but in a good offense could really be playmakers, and I think that's probably where there's room for growth. So I don't know who's going to make it and who's not. All I'm saying is I think you got to consider the guys on their roster who maybe haven't done as much. The potential for them to do something, I think, is there if the offense grows. But we really don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, and, you know, they have made it a point to, talking about that offense, to this was offensive line year when people thought that that would be it last year. I remember how disappointed everybody was when the Bears waited until all the way until the seventh round to grab those two guys, Arlington Hambright and Lechavius Pigg-Simmons. And, you know, and everybody thought they were going to take a quarterback. This year is the make good year in that regard. And Nagy, our Pace, even said something to the effect of, yeah, we had to get,
right.
Even though, shame on us.
If we don't take a lineman this year, shame on us. They had not taken a lineman that early. I think that Fabulage in the sixth round or seventh,
Tyo, yes.
He was the earliest that Pace had ever drafted a lineman. So that, I thought that was Pace was right on there. It showed that he gets the situation with saying, you know, if we don't get a lineman in this draft early, shame on us. And they addressed it, and they addressed that and got a guy who I think a lot of people, I know I did. I had him pegged for Jenkins pegged for the Bears at 20. And they got him at 39. That's kind of a bonus. There weren't that many. It's not like there were a bunch of teams that chose other players. You know, I think the Vikings took Christian Darrisaw over Jenkins, but he was, I think, rated ahead of him anyway. So there, it wasn't like Jenkins just dropped. That's just the way the board fell because of what teams needed. So the Bears legitimately got a first round tackle, I think, in the second round.
Do you think it stays the same on the inside, though, for the Bears with Mustafa at center? Hopefully James Daniels is back healthy and Cody Whitehair is a guard. Or did they bring this Larry Borum in to potentially compete for a starting guard spot?
I don't know what they're going to do. Frankly, I don't know if they know what they're going to do at this point because I don't know if they know exactly what they have at center with Mustafa. I mean,
right.
He was good enough, but still, you know, it wasn't a large enough sample against good enough teams to really know exactly what you have. So they have some decisions to make there, but they know they've got, in Whitehair and Daniels, they got two solid guys, you know, maybe the two best guys on their line coming in. So that's a pretty good starting point, and I think they have enough versatility now that they figure they're gonna be better than they were last year. But I think a lot of that's also predicated on Leno still being there. That I think that's kind of a big decision for this particular year coming up. After that, it's going to be a totally different deal.
And the defense, you know, in terms of the draft, kind of on their own for this year. It seems like they're going to be depending on guys to have bounce back years for the Bears, unless you think that Thomas Graham Jr., the cornerback out of Oregon in the sixth round, and then Kyrus Tonga, the big defensive tackle, nose tackle from BYU, is going to make an impact. There wasn't much defense to be added, and Pace made a point of saying that he was happy with what they did in the offseason. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much they could do. I mean, you know, they essentially signed or drafted Eddie Goldman. So, so that's good. That's an upgrade over what they had last year. And that's an upgrade that has an impact on their run defense, and their pass rush, which, you know, in theory, makes Jalen Johnson a better cornerback. So, and he's going to grow this year, theoretically, based on what he did. So I think they're expecting growth from within, and Eddie Goldman coming back with Hicks still on the roster for them to have, like you said, a bounce back year. So it's about time they left the defense on their own and kind of went to offense. I think cutting Fuller and keeping Graham, I think it was a sign that they were really insistent on making sure they improved, that they fixated on improving the offense. And I think that was a huge move because like I've said before, when their offense was at its absolute best, a monster offense 2 years ago, they still only got to the first round of the playoffs. So this, I mean, their defense, when their defense was like as good, you know, as good as there was in the NFL, they still lost in the first round of the playoffs. They need their offense to be better, and I thought that was the right move, and just, you know, hope for improvement, which you should get on defense.
Where are you with Matt Nagy, the head coach? Do you think that this is like where it starts for him, because it's kind like his initials seem to be all over this draft, whereas in the past, and especially coming in 2018, that was not his team?
I think this whole season is on Matt Nagy. I think this is his moment. This is his chance. I think there's more on Matt Nagy than there is on Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace has kind of done his job at this point based on this year's draft, and now it's Matt Nagy. He's the most unproven factor in the Bears have right now, as far as I'm concerned. And not that he can't do it, but that he just right now we don't know that he's the guy who, when you put give him an offensive weapon, he can maximize him. You know, it's not like sending a guy drafting a quarterback into Sean McVay's offense or Kyle Shanahan. Those guys have proven that they can build an offense, and he hasn't. Not that he can't, but right now we're still waiting to see that, and that's the big question. Question mark is whether he can do something with, you know, he talked about it. Now it's our job to develop him with Justin Fields. He's absolutely right. And so my point is, it's an unknown with Matt Nagy. He was drafted here to develop this offense and kind of be the Bears Andy Reid, and frankly we haven't seen that yet. So now he's got the quarterback, like you said, you know, this is kind of his baby. This is the one he started with. He didn't inherit this guy like he did Trubisky, and so now he gets to start fresh, and this is his chance. But what I'm saying is there's no evidence right now, there's little evidence right now that he's expert at that, but this is his chance to prove it.
Potsy, great info as always. Did you watch that ridiculous 13-12 Cubs loss to the Reds today in 10 innings?
No, I did not, but I'll make sure to catch the replay.
It's on
maybe.
Like over and over.
Maybe,
and over.
Maybe not. I like, I don't know. All the home runs and strikeouts kind of turn me off. But
And I'm like what Hub was saying to me earlier, after this weekend, I don't want to watch sports tonight. Hub's watching American Idol. I might put in a movie or do something Netflixy. What's going on in the Potash household tonight? What's going to be early bedtime entertainment, sports? I don't know what's going on.
Well, my daughter's birthday is today, so we're going to be celebrating that. So that's a good post draft event at our house.
Oh, well, happy. Do you want to give her name and her age and happy birthday?
My daughter's name is Hannah, and she's 31.
Oh, man, that's such a great name. I love the name Hannah.
She's not 8 years old. It's not that kind of birthday party anymore.
This is the ones that you got to pay. You got to, you know, pick up the bill, take her out for a nice dinner. So I hope that you and Hannah have a wonderful night, and happy birthday to her.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I appreciate that.
All right, buddy. That is Mark Potash.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.